In 1882, a boy in Indiana was born by the name of Joshua Hugh Wooden. He spent most of his life as a farmer working on a 65-acre farm. Never became wealthy. In fact, he eventually lost the farm and had to totally start all over. With a wife and four sons to support, he moved his family across Indiana, and he got a job at a mineral spa where it was incredibly hot and the sulfur smell was smelling like rotten eggs, just to provide for his family. Joshua Wooden was not famous. He was not on the who's list. He never held public office. Most people have really never heard of him, but he was a godly man. He was a godly man who taught his sons, you never whine, you never complain, you never blame others because of the lot in life you've been dealt. Don't hate, don't become bitter, always, always do your best. He lived what he taught. His faith was not just something he said, it's something that he lived out every day of his life. Years later, people described him as just an ordinary man who was almost invisible in his community. While he may have been invisible in his community, he wasn't invisible to his sons. He had four sons. One of them was by the name of John. In 1946, John Wooden became the basketball coach for the UCLA Bruins. Over three decades, he became the most successful basketball coach in sports history. Listen to this. 10 national championships in 12 years. Listen to this. Coach K didn't do this. 7 consecutive national championships, one after another after another. Millions of people know the name John Wooden. Nobody knows the name of Joshua Wooden. John Wooden was asked, how would you like to be remembered? This is what he said. I would like to be remembered as a man who came as close as possible to being like my father. Today, I want to speak into every man's life. If you're a father or not yet a father, I want to speak into every man's life because God has a plan for you. And his plan for you is to leave this world vastly different than you found it. This morning, 3 keys to being a godly man. Sermon I've entitled, Manhunt. First key is this. Notice the search for a godly man. Verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? These two verses ask and answer the question. Who can find a faithful man? A faithful man, it says, is a rarity. Most men do not fit this description. If you just want to go with the flow, that's fine, but you're not going to be a godly man. If you're one of those that just agrees with culture, that's fine, but you're not going to be a godly man. If you just want to be one of the boys, that's fine, but you're not going to be a godly man. That word faithful, it's a messenger who consistently conveys a true message. Someone who can be counted upon. Someone who's going to do what's right every single time. A faithful man is a righteous man. Look at the next verse. A just man walks in integrity. Just, it's a justified man. It's a saved man. Genesis 6 verse 9 says, Noah was a righteous man. He was saved. There may be a stop sign at nearly every corner. There may be a Burger King at nearly every corner.
In some areas, there may be a church at every corner.
Sadly, there's not a godly man at every corner.
It's rare. Who can find? Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. If you want to be a faithful man, if you want to be a saved man, the first thing you got to know and realize and confess, you're not righteous. That's what it says. There's none righteous. So I'm not righteous, and you're not righteous. The Pope isn't righteous, neither was Billy Graham. There is none righteous. You have to realize, hey, I don't measure up. But Jesus, you were my substitute, and I accept your righteousness on my behalf. Jesus, I'm going to follow you till the day I die. Only way you can become righteous is admitting that you're a sinner and accepting the payment for your sin by Christ on the cross. Jesus, I accept you as truth, as the way, the truth, and the life. Think about Abraham. When Abraham died, he left no empire. He left no palace. He had no really great military conquest. But yet, Scripture says he was the father of faith. You say, why? Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So let me get in every dad's business, every man's business, every college student guy's business, every teenager's business. Are you faithful? Are you godly? Have you ever been born from above? Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? The search for godly men. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Number one, the search for a godly man. Number two, notice the sincerity of a godly man. Most men proclaim everyone his own goodness. They can talk a good game. But this is not talking about talks. Proclaim his own goodness. Faithful man who can find. A just man walks in his integrity. So there's a difference between talking and walking. There's a difference between claiming something and living something out. Integrity is not a single act. It's a lifelong pattern of just doing right over and over and over again. It says of Enoch, Enoch walked with God. It says of Noah, Noah walked with God. Just day after day, decision after decision, action after action, he just did what was right and obeyed. God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou blameless. Walk describes daily choices. Walk describes daily steps. Walk describes acts of obedience, one at a time. See, you can't live your life in one day. But the way you live your life is one day at a time. Faithful. He walks in his integrity. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, why do you call me Lord? And do not do the things which I say. Our kids just saying, oh, how I love Jesus. That's great that dads are singing, oh, how I love Jesus. But does your song change on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday night when you're just hanging out with the boys? Does your music change? This is saying, no. He walks in his integrity. The word integrity comes from the word integrated. All of the parts of his life, they go together and they all fit together. A godly man does not have a segregated life where he's this with this group and this with this group. No. He's integrated. So put him with the co-workers, and he's a godly man. Put him with the family, he's with a godly man. Put him out at the ball team, he's a godly man. It's integrated into all aspects of his life. The word integrity means complete. When you've seen one part of his life, you've seen the whole thing. So you see him on Sunday in his Sunday best, but he's the same guy when he's cutting grass on Tuesday afternoon. And he's the same guy when he's helping his wife around the house. Amen, women? I didn't hear you very well on that. He's the same. He's complete. What you see is what you get. Think about Joseph. Working in Potiphar's house. No pastor there looking over him. No family there checking up on him. No discipleship group there. Just, hey, we're watching you. No. Foreign land. A lady tries to seduce him. Joseph says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was the same guy, even if you put him in a foreign land. He was the same guy when he was worshiping as he was when he was being seduced. He was genuine. I don't think you're getting it. Let me give you an illustration, and let me just say, some of you are not going to like my illustration. Anybody ever heard of chicken nuggets? Come on, let me see some hands. Anybody heard of chicken nuggets? There's variety in chicken nuggets. McDonald's chicken nuggets. I'm not going to ask you how many of you like, and the reason these are empty, because somebody in my house ate them. I won't say who. McDonald's chicken nuggets. Chick-fil-A, God bless Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets. If you were to go home and Google, what's the difference between Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets and McDonald's chicken nuggets? I will read what Google will tell you. Chick-fil-A, this is what Google says. I'm not promoting Chick-fil-A, this is what they said. Bite-sized premium chicken breast. Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets. McDonald's, and just be fair to McDonald's, read yesterday, rated the number one fast food restaurant in America. Maybe not after this sermon, but they were. You Google McDonald's chicken nuggets, this is what you found. Ground up. Formed leftover chicken parts. Now, I just made you sick for your lunch. I'm sorry. That's the difference between integrity. I like integrity with Chick-fil-A. Ground up leftover chicken parts that they just package up. They're all the same size. Some of you have lost the rest of my sermon. They all look so unique. They're fake. They're fake, and they just a bunch of stuff that they pack together and mush together, and you are dipping it in barbecue sauce and downing it into your body. At least you used to. And so many times. That's what men do. Oh, it's Sunday. Let's pack it up. Let's mush it all up. Let's make it look good because we got to go to church. But on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, you're just that leftover mush. Understand this and I'll move on. Person of integrity is honest, but it does not mean that they're perfect. They walk in the light as he is in the light. They do that. And they don't hide their stuff. Men, when you do something wrong, you deal with it. So if you snap at your wife and the Holy Spirit comes and convicts you, you go back and you say, you know what? I shouldn't have said it that way, and maybe I shouldn't even said it at all. Will you deal with it? Will you forgive me? your children, they see you, go off the handle, whatever you're going off the handle, does not mean you're perfect. It means you deal with your stuff, because none of us are perfect. So if you do something wrong at work, you go back to the coworkers and say, guys, y'all know I'm not perfect. I serve somebody who's perfect, and I'm sorry I blew up. Will y'all forgive me? Don't miss this. A man of integrity is not perfect. He just deals with his stuff. Number two, the sincerity of a godly man. I'll give you one more. Notice the seed of a godly man. The just man walks in his integrity, verse 7 says. His children are blessed after him. The blessing of living a godly life shows up first at home. Will your business see it and be blessed? Oh, yeah. Will your retirement see it and be blessed? Oh, yeah. But first and foremost, the godly man, the faithful man who walks in his integrity, you know who's affected first and foremost? The family, the children. Every parent desires for their kids to have a better chance on life than they did. It's just right. It's just normal. No father is going to run up his debts and try to lay all of his debts and his bad decisions upon his children. No. Fathers want their children to have it better than they did. Don't put your bad decisions and your bad choices on your children, so that your children are having to walk around with this ball and chain. Oh, that's so-and-so's son. You know what he did. He wasn't an honest person. He wasn't a faithful person. He wasn't a dependable person. Look what the verse says. Man of integrity, his children are blessed after him. Doesn't say they're wealthy after him. No, no, no. They're blessed. Blessing goes a whole lot deeper than wealth. Some of you are leaving your children and you're killing yourself, leaving your children an inheritance. But you're not leaving them the best inheritance. A blessing. Blessing is stability. Blessing is wisdom. Blessing is protection. Blessing is spiritual heritage. Blessing is godly influence. The greatest blessing a father can give his children is not the finest car or the nicest house. Greatest blessing a father can give his children is a godly example, where those kids just say, this is what my daddy would have done. This is how I saw my daddy handle problems. This is what my daddy did when things got tough. My daddy just did what was right. Listen, more than a fancy house or some fancy car. His children are blessed. They know the favor of God Almighty because they had a godly father. Every father is planting something. Intentionally or unintentionally. Every father is sowing seed. Galatians chapter 6 or 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What are you sowing before your children? What are you planting into your children that's going to spring forth fruit? Is it the ways of God or is it the ways of the world? The question is not, am I planning? The question is, what are you planning? Let me give you a homework assignment. Write down Jeremiah 35. Guy in Jeremiah 35, it's a cool little story. His name is Jonabad. Jonadab was the patriarch of the Rechabites. Here's what you'll find of this guy with the weird name, Jonadab. Generation after generation after generation after Jonadab was gone. Jonadab was a strict guy. Jonadab was literally even stricter than the prophets and the preachers of his day. His children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren, it says in Jeremiah 35, were still living in the ways of their great-great-grandfather, Jonadab. You say, why? His children are blessed after him. They got what their father and their grandfather and their great-grandfather was all about. And they kept walking, and they kept listening, and they kept obeying God Almighty because of their father. What is it that you're passing on to your children? What is it that when you've been gone 10 years, they're still walking in your ways? What is it, no matter what happens in government or in world affairs, your grandchildren have it as part of their DNA? They're still walking in your footsteps. They're still living out your character and your qualities. Priority. Your children, your grandchildren have to be a priority in your life. Let me say this, and I'll wrap it up. A child is going to have a hard time finding a father in God if he doesn't find God in his father. So I'm great. I'm glad that you're great at your business. And I'm great that you're great at your hobby. Are you great at God so that your children and your grandchildren, they get what you're all about because you're all about the Lord Jesus Christ? And they just follow because they catch it in your DNA. Joshua Wooden, farmed 65 acres in Indiana. He had come to his wife, the farm. He got it as an inheritance. It was his wife's inheritance. The family struggled financially, and they just eked by little by little. Joshua Wooden says, I need to get a safety net in case we have a bad crop that we're not destroyed. So he mortgaged the house and went and bought a bunch of hogs to protect his investment. He says, we got to vaccinate these hogs. And he vaccinated every one of them. Problem is, it was a bad vaccination. Every one of his hogs died. That wasn't enough. One of the most severe droughts they'd had in decades happened that year, and all of his crops failed. Unable to recover financially, the bank foreclosed on his farm. He had four children. He had to get by. They moved. He took this terrible job working in a hot mineral bath facility. He carried the burden every day that the inheritance his wife had received, he lost. Years later, his son John reflected on that season of life. John said, my daddy wasn't bitter. Instead, he would sit down at night and he would repeatedly look at us boys. Boys never whine. Boys never complain. Boys never blame others for your actions. Never make excuses. Always do your best. And no matter what, don't hate anyone. It doesn't do any good. More importantly, John Wooden writes, my daddy lived these principles every day of his life. John Wooden said this, I saw my dad live that out. And was one of the most powerful things I witnessed in my whole life when my dad lost it all. and he was still faithful, showing us the way that we should go. He later explained, "That's where I came to see what you do is more important than what you say." Dad, husband, sir, listen to what God's message for you is today. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? The just man walking in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Let's serve Jesus with all of our might.